Voting Catholic, hacker style. Stick around. Let's talk about it.
Houston, we have a problem.
Habemos Papam.
Podcasting from a parking lot in the Woodlands, Texas, it's the Catholic Hack with Joe McClain.
Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you.
1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope.
Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven.
The Church of the Living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15.
Do this in memory of me.
Welcome back to the Catholic Hack. I'm Joe McClain, and this is part two of the roundtable discussion on Catholic voting. Or should I say, voting Catholic. And I hope you've enjoyed the conversation so far. We've gotten to a lot of very meaty topics, controversial ones even. But you know what? It's got to be said. It really must be said. We are days away from the most critical vote in our nation's history. And it's so important that we remind ourselves of the priorities. And I suggest to you that they're not the economy, that it's not Iraq, or immigration, or health care, or the stock market. No. It's life. It's life. It's so important that we remember the tragic loss of life in this country, not even to mention the rest of this world. Just recently, I saw a video produced by Eduardo Verástegui. He was the lead actor in the movie Bella. This man is a rock star in Hispanic and Latino circles. I mean, this man is a rock star. And he had a conversion. And he's the kind of guy you can Google and you see like half-naked pictures of this guy when he was a soap star and a musician and all that. And he gave all that up. Worldly desire and success, he gave it all up when he had his conversion. And now he serves God and all that he does, all for the glory of God. And this man produced a video that I saw just this week reminding us of the importance of life and the tragedy of abortion in this country. Let me tell you something. I participated in abortion back in the early 90s. I took a girl to get an abortion. And let me tell you something. Even though I've been to confession and even though I've heard the words of absolution, it does not leave me. It haunts me, even to this day. It is by the grace of God that I can be forgiven of such a heinous crime. And this is why we are doing this. And so I want to encourage you to pray and to remember the almost 50 million lives that were lost since Roe v. Wade in this country, the vast majority of which taken not because of the medical health of the mother, taken because they were simply inconvenient. God have mercy on us. Let's remember that. So anyway, let's get to the second half of this very long and very good discussion on voting Catholic. Let's begin with a prayer first. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, all gracious and glorious God, we come before you to praise your holy name, to do your will, to seek your mercy, to be inspired for your truth. We pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit to descend upon us, and convert our hearts and convict us to live every day for you, for your glory, to look past our own selfish desires of the things that we want in this world and stand up for what is right. Give us the courage to be saints at this time when there are none in sight. We prayerfully ask for all this and so much grace to live our lives for your glory. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, well, let's roll up our sleeves and let's dive deep and get back into the discussion on voting Catholic.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You
can't handle the truth.
This school, when I sit, even just a little bit, I get hit with the power that made the veil in the temple split. When I submit, fall on the floor and adore. Can't get enough, got to come back for some more.
Hey, we've got a problem here.
Center every human hypocrite can benefit in this school. Repent and commit.
Roger that.
As the incense rises up in adoration of the throne, something happens to my wounded heart from all the love revealed and shown. Bright light, Shekinah comes to my head to persist. To change and sustain the way I think it exists. To feel the bliss because my name is in the book of life's list. That's what happens when you sit in the school of the Eucharist.
Mr. Hammond, anchor down. Make your depth 150 feet, 10 degree down, Bubba.
150 feet, 10 degree down, Bubba. Aye, sir.
Dive, dive, dive.
You know, Adam here, Obama is the pro-life choice. I mean, is this possible? Isn't this guy, didn't he say that he would, the first thing he would do as president would be to sign the Freedom of Choice Act? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the same guy who said he wouldn't want to punish his daughter with a baby, with a life. I mean, how can we in a million years say that this man is the pro-life choice? Adam.
Obama being the pro-life choice is, that being real and being true is about as real and true as me winning the Miss America pageant, you know, that later this year.
There's images there that I don't need.
Yeah. Number one, I'm not pretty, but even before that, I wouldn't qualify because I'm not a woman. But to sit there and say that the obvious pro-life thing to do is to support the pro-culture of death candidate is completely erroneous. It's illogical and it's gravely foolish. It's so foolish that it's on a biblical scale of like hell and brimstone. I mean, are you kidding me? I think a really good thing to think about to try to put it into focus is to look at what would the other side look at it if they had the same philosophy. And so let's look at Planned Parenthood. Do you think that a meeting in Planned Parenthood, you know, they're all sitting around the table, well, how should we go to increase so that way we can perform more abortions so we can get more money in here? You think someone's going to suggest that, hey, I got an idea. Let's start supporting and pushing that we make abortion illegal. That way we can perform more abortions. That's the same philosophy coming from the other side of voting for the pro-choice guy because it's more pro-life. It's erroneous. It doesn't make sense.
But hold on now. Obama said that he wants to limit abortions and teach our youth about the sacredness of sex. Does that not make him better than McCain?
No, because for one thing, you have to have things put in the right order. He doesn't. Number one, he wants to limit it. All right, McCain wants to eliminate it. So it's like, okay, well, which one's better? Oh, well, eliminating it would be the obvious choice. But I think to sit there and say, but he wants to do this, and he wants to, but you know, there'll be less in the long run. No, this is not a new concept either. Catholics for Free Choice has been around for 20, 25 years, and trying to push these things on to the Catholic community. Archbishop Chappell commented on that these aren't new. That Catholics for Free Choice, it's just new wrapping paper. It's a new fresh coat of paint on an old idea and old arguments. It's just completely erroneous.
Josh. Okay, so we've got this case, we've got these two candidates, we clearly know one to be a pro-death candidate, we clearly know one has at least the better pro-life, you know, positions than the other one. Does that make our situation fairly clear, or is there still a vague decision to be made here? Is there still some more complex processes that we have to take into account, given our current two candidates? Is this cut and dry, or is this complex?
You know, I think people want to make it complex. I really do. But I don't think it is complex at all, because ultimately people will come up with excuses and say, well, you know, Obama wants to do this with our taxes. He wants to do that with the economy, and he's got such great ideas. And, you know, saying Obama is in favor of – it's in favor of limiting abortion. It's like saying Catholics for a Free Choice is in favor of eliminating birth control. You know, it's an outright lie. It's not going to happen. It's a way to garnish votes. And in fact, if you want to get rid of birth control, if you want to get rid of abortion using Obama's plan, I would have to call you an idealist, because there's no way it's going to happen in those situations. It's a complete theory, and so it's really a clear. I think it's really a clear cut decision, because when it comes down to it, whenever you're voting in this election, you can consider things like, the cost of oil and gas in this country. You can consider the economy. You can consider the current financial situation. But I got to ask you, do any of those things matter if we're killing off all of our unborn children? What does it matter to an unborn child if he has health insurance, if he has what the cost of gas is, what his stock portfolio is doing, if he's never allowed to see the light of day to begin with? And I ask any individual to justify to me legitimately, and how can you justify yourself in your mind to say that these issues of the economy and finances in your pocketbook or as important as the life of unborn children? Ultimately, it comes down to not complexity, but it comes down to selfishness over selflessness.
Wow. And I really kind of want to touch on, before we, wrap things up here in a little bit, I really want to touch on the fact that Obama voted against saving the life of a baby who survives the act of abortion in the state of Illinois. And I think I don't want to mischaracterize what he said, but I believe he said, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he said, I don't want to complicate the original decision by having to call in another doctor. And the first thing that came to mind was, okay, let me put this into perspective here. I have a dog. I tried killing my dog because I don't like my dog. He has fleas. He eats my couch, whatever. Mm-hmm. I try killing my dog, but my dog lives, and he's clearly hurt, and it looks like he could die slowly and painfully, but I don't want to complicate my original decision to kill him by having to take him to a vet or call a vet to come save him. Yeah. Do you think PETA would be very happy with me? I wonder how fast it would be that before I would be hauled away in handcuffs in the back of a car and locked up for animal abuse.
You know what, Joe? I want to see the day, and I don't mean this truly, but this image passes through my head of Senator Obama, all of a sudden having a leg pain. He goes into the doctor, and the doctor says, you've got cancer, and we have to remove your right leg. And then Obama says, I want a second opinion. The doctor says, no. We just don't want to complicate the original decision. It's never going to happen. Anybody right in their right mind is going to want a second doctor in on that. So to make that kind of assertion to me is completely ludicrous and just utterly ridiculous.
Adam?
I think we should call it what it is. I don't think that he's unwilling to save the child that they failed the abortion at. I don't think let's call a spade a spade. It's not that he wants to save it. He wants to murder because they didn't work this first time. And that might seem kind of harsh, but it is what it is.
Well, I think it's a pretty bad thing if we think that voting for this man, despite his position on the economy, despite his position on the war in Iraq, despite his position on health care or on immigration or on tax cuts or Joe the plumber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I personally can't see past this one issue. I just can't see past it. Is there a way? I mean, bottom line, we've talked about it now. We've said it, but let's say it again. Bottom line, is there a way for us to see past this abortion issue in this election, Josh?
No, I really don't think so. And when it comes down to the candidates, I think you have to say this. Can you vote in this election for Obama at all? My answer would be yes, but only if you can only vote for Obama if his opposing partner was Adolf Hitler. That's the only way you could vote for Obama in this campaign, was if you had someone who was worse than Obama running for office. And I think ultimately, John McCain, when it comes down to it, and again, as we've said, I'm speaking as a private citizen, not on behalf of any organization, but John McCain ultimately has a better pro-life record and will ultimately be the individual who does more for the pro-life cause in this country than Obama could ever dream to do. And I think when it comes down to it, abortion is really a defining issue, because as I've noted at the beginning of the show, that if we don't stop abortion in its tracks, we're just a step away from forced euthanasia in the United States.
Adam?
I think the only way to vote for him in this election is that before Election Day, he becomes pro-life. The only way that a Catholic can vote for him. And it's not just this election. It's any election. If it's a pro-life candidate versus a pro-culture of death candidate, mm-hmm. There's no way a Catholic that is honest and holds his faith true and dear and tries to be obedient. There's no way that a Catholic can do that. To sit there and think that, okay, well, I can do that. I can put him in there. You know, I can vote for him. I'll be fine. All right. Well, let's just say that you continue to do that. Fine. But people don't look in the context of how stuff evolves. Look how abortion has evolved to what it is now. How mm-hmm. Announced euthanasia. Now you got people questioning the right to see if that. Well, if people are suffering and they're old, and even though they can't give their two cents in because they're in a coma, I should be allowed to decide if they want to live or not, because you know I'm trying to be you know compassionate for them.
Right.
And things are just disordered, and how stuff just completely evolves and just gets out of control. I mean, you look at Hitler. I think Hitler's intentions were honest and true. I don't think he I don't think he thought what he was doing was evil. I thought he was really trying to do what he thought was right. And because there was this these people, they were humans that he didn't view as people or humans. He was like, all right, well they're not human, they're not persons. So I think the best thing to do is to eliminate them. That way they don't bring us down with them because they're weak. And it also reminds me about that. I think a big problem that Peter Kreeft, I was listening to the explanation he does on the pro-life stance, is that people like to put a person into the category of what human is. And it's out of order. A human is a category inside of what a person is. We have angels are persons. God is three persons in one nature. And people don't think of it like that. They think that human is the bold print and a subcategory is persons.
You know, I wish we were having this debate in the context of who was running for president in 1850, you know, or in the 1850s, because the debate then was over slavery. And yeah. I wonder if we had a pro-slavery candidate and a candidate who was against slavery. If we were talking about that context today, people would never tolerate voting mm-hmm. for a candidate who is in favor of slavery. It would be unthinkable. It would be unheard of.
Yeah, the language is very similar in Roe versus Wade to what the documents back then that said that the African Americans were not persons. That language is very similar.
Mm-hmm. I mean, go ahead. And you know, Joe, just real quick, I want to remind those who are listening, because another issue that's brought up too is, like I talked about, that you know, one vote doesn't matter, my vote doesn't matter, and I talked about the responsibility to vote. I want to remind those who are listening and thinking about not voting that in the year that Adolf Hitler came to power, in his party in Germany, he was elected and came to power by one vote. One vote brought Adolf Hitler to power. Now imagine looking back now and seeing that one vote caused the deaths of millions of Jews. Ultimately, history will judge us. And looking back 100 years from now, who is going to look back and say, look at what they allow. I mean, we look now and we look at slavery and say, what crazy individual, what mindless individual would allow slavery? 100 years from now, they're going to be looking back on us and saying, I have a gut feeling in my heart that Roe v. Wade will be overturned. They're going to look back on this country and say, what monstrous society would allow abortion? And they're going to look back on us, and we're going to be the villains. We're going to be the ones who allowed abortion to happen.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Adam.
That's a good thing to do. People will be like, why didn't more people speak up?
Yeah.
Will be one of the big things. Why was everybody so quiet? I also wanted to comment on voting, like Joshua did, is that both of my grandparents were in World War II. Grandfather was a Pearl Harbor survivor. He was in the line of B-17s that came in the middle of the bombing, in the middle of the attack. And he made it through World War II. So did my other grandfather. He was at the Battle of the Bulge. Mm-hmm. And was thrown in a foxhole with a gun, some rations, and said, shoot anything that moves. And he was left alone. Very scary. And we have had, all the way from the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, and going on, defending our freedom to vote. And I've always held very close to my heart that to not vote in an election for whatever reason. I mean, if you can't vote for who you want, I think you got to go, I vote for who I want, who I don't want least, or something like that, is that it's a kick in the face to all the men and women that have died and suffered and given the ultimate sacrifice for this country. Not even on a religious fact, just to be patriotic. It's a kick in their face to not vote. That is what America is founded on. Granted, it wasn't one vote, but I live up here in Ohio. Last election, it came down to Ohio. All right, it was extremely close. I think I got an hour of sleep that night because I was watching the polls and all that stuff before I had to go to work. Anybody that knows about votes, every vote counting, us Ohioans know. I mean, it was the biggest turnout I think ever, and people were lined up. They kept the poll. They kept the voting places open. If you were in line by the deadline, they made sure you got to get in to vote. And it came down to, we had all these people throughout the whole country vote, and it came down to one state. If a couple thousand people would have voted, the other way, Bush wouldn't have been our president. Mm-hmm. If people are like, Obama's going to win, look at the polls, all that type of stuff. You have to also understand in context that except for Fox, the drive-by media is liberal. They're going to put their spin on stuff. And so when they poll people, they're most likely going to be polling majority of liberals anyway. So to say, well, he's getting blown out of the water in the polls. Well, you know what? The poll that matters is the one that's there on election day.
And that brings up a couple of points that I want to make sure we talk about. Before we get to that, I want to throw it out to anybody who's watching or listening actually to us live on Ustream. If you have a question for one of my guests tonight, Josh LeBlanc from the Catholic Underground or Adam Andresio from Theotokos Podcast, please type it into the chat box and I will read it. And please let me know who you address the question to, and we'll try to get to those. But there's a couple more points that I want to talk about. But Josh, you said you saw a bumper sticker that might have some context here.
It's very good because Senator Obama constantly talks about change, 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 change. And I saw a bumper sticker which made me laugh. It actually said, Cuba got change back in 1959. And that's something to think about. What kind of change do we want? Do we – we've been in a society – that ultimately, yes, we've had some financial problems. We've had some economic problems. But for – I don't believe that, Roe v. Wade has progressed within the last 10 years. And I think if we can at least keep it at bay, then we have a better chance of reversing Roe versus Wade than if we elect someone like Senator Obama, who is literally going to undo, as Archbishop Chaput said, is the last 35 years worth of work in our country that the pro-life movement has done.
Yeah, Joe Pilateri in the Ustream chat box said, we wouldn't have Cuba as a problem if the Reds would have drafted Castro. So I thought that was pretty cute. I found out this week, and I didn't know this before, but I was reading that Celine Dion from our neighbors to the north there, she was like the youngest of 14 kids. And when her mother got pregnant, her mother was contemplating having an abortion. And mm-hmm. her mother talked to her parish priest, and the parish priest convinced her to have that baby. Now, I know Celine Dion hasn't cured cancer, but we can see that the opportunity for one person to have an impact on those around us, that can be exemplified in this case. I mean, Celine Dion is a great performer, and many people love her music, for example. Okay, well, you're telling me that in the other 50 million lives in the United States, there wasn't other children who might have helped cure cancer, or who knows what they might have done? That we could have found all kinds of impacts on our lives and in our society with lost children. I think that was a very good example of how that could be true in that case. But the other point that I kind of wanted to bring up here as we start to wrap it up is, what about throwing our vote for you, Josh? You talked about not voting and the responsibility of voting. What if
sure.
I don't like either candidate? What if I don't like Obama and I don't like McCain? And I know a lot of good people who are in that case. What if I threw my vote for candidate X, who has realistically no shot at winning, Josh?
Well, okay, and again, I preface this as my opinion, and I wish some theologian would. I've tried to formulate this, but I've yet to make it happen to my liking. You know, just as we as Catholics have a theory of just war, which the just war says that – just war theory says that for a war to be just, not only do you have to have the right motive, but you also have to have the reasonable possibility that such a war could be won. Otherwise, there's no – you can't – you cannot – wage that war. I think we have to have some kind of theory with regards like that for voting as well. Because ultimately, if I go and I don't support either one of these candidates and I go in the voting booth, and some Catholics have recommended this, and I don't buy the argument where they say go and write in a third party candidate or just write someone's name in to just write someone's name in to show them that you're not voting for them, that you want to vote for a pro-life candidate. First of all, no one ever is ever going to see those votes. So they'll never know that you were writing in a pro-life candidate's name or whatnot. No one's ever going to see those candidates. You think John McCain or Obama is ever going to see those votes so that you didn't support? No. My point is this, is that ultimately I think when we vote – when we cast that vote, not only do we have to decide, or is this candidate 100% pro-life or is the best one, but also does he have a good shot of winning? Otherwise, my vote is lost. My vote is thrown away. And so I think ultimately you have to ask yourself, you know, there's two candidates. One of them will be president. Honestly, look at it. Being a realist – I would love to see someone like Ambassador Alan Keyes become president of the United States. I think he's a great man. He's 100% pro-life. I think he would be a great president. As a third, he is on the ballot here in Louisiana. Now, do I think I can vote for Alan Keyes? No. Why? Because I know voting for Alan Keyes is simply taking a vote away from McCain as president. And I think ultimately we hurt our chances for electing a more pro-life candidate if we vote for someone who has no chance of winning. That's why I think we have to have what's called the just vote policy, which I would love to see drafted.
Adam?
I'd like to make a comment there on the Freedom of Choice Act. So, with the state of the economy and stuff like that, and that the liberal media, all that stuff, you don't hear a whole lot about it. And a lot of people don't really know what it is. And the Freedom of Choice Act, which I on the Ustream, I posted a link to just some excerpts of it. You can also go onto YouTube. If you just type in Obama and Planned Parenthood, you can find the whole, it's about a 20-some-odd minute speech that he gives talking about, you know, that he's talking to Planned Parenthood. What will it do? I said on my podcast that I did earlier this week on refuting Nicholas Cafardi's commentary is that I think the Freedom of Choice Act should be called the Deregulation of Abortion Act. Because any regulation that we have in any state, on a federal level or state level, it throws it all out. That means anything's game. That means late term abortions that Bush had signed into law, that would know that they can do that. That infanticide, you know, where it's a failed abortion. They try to abort the baby late term, survives, he's living. They can kill it, which Obama also voted down when he was still just a state in the Iowa Congress or Illinois Congress. Mm-hmm. He voted that down, claiming that if it would have been more similar to the federal mandate and all that stuff, which many people have commented that it was worded very closely to that. But it'll also kick out the parent's consent of a minor. That means any kid, anybody that's under 18 can just go and get an abortion, does not need parental consent. And we all know that because many of us have been teenagers at one time, that, well, we're all legally insane because we're all driven by hormones and that you can't think clearly, you don't have enough experience. And that so they may not really take into context what they're doing and then could have that on the – you know, have to suffer the rest of their life knowing that they killed somebody, that they, you know, and for granted, some parents may be okay with that. Some parents may force them to do that. Yes. But there are a number of parents that are against abortion, be like, well, no, you know, we'll put up for adoption, whatever it may be. We'll raise your, you know, the child together. We'll help you, whatever it may be. But a parent not knowing is just, it's unacceptable. It also will, you know, just think, we have the morning after pill. Just think, if the deregulation, just think what else would come out, you know, that's even more effective at murder than the morning after pill. The other thing to also remember is that Planned Parenthood is a business, and the more abortions that they perform, the more money they get the right to break in. It is a business. Anybody that signed up to get the 40 days for life emails come in every day, every other day, something like that. I was reading one, I don't know if it was from today or a couple of days ago, but they'll talk about stuff that's going on all over the country. And at one of the people were out there having a prayer vigil, that the manager came out and said that he didn't want them talking to any of the employees or anybody coming in, or any of the employees or any of the customers that his customers are way down. And that's the big thing, that he's not taught, he doesn't call them patients. Doesn't call them people, calls them customers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last time I checked, customers went to a place like Walmart. That when I went to the doctor's office, I was a patient, a customer at my, when I go to my doctor's office.
One of the Ustreamers, I think it was Rob, asked if we could comment on the seamless garment theory. And, you know, I'll just share real briefly about an experience I had several months ago in a conversation with a Catholic who was planning on voting, you know, for the Democratic ticket in this upcoming electoral race, because this whole seamless garment issue, he thought he got what I would characterize a quote unquote get out of jail free card, because us Catholics, and this man was a Catholic actually, us Catholics, we talk about the abortion issue all the time. But, you know, we failed to come clean on, we failed to step up on the death penalty. We talk about abortion, but what about all those innocent lives lost in Iraq? And what about all those innocent lives lost in Afghanistan, or even Darfur, or you name it? And so, mm-hmm. And this is how I addressed it with him. And this is the example that I use, that I basically, you know, it's ripped off from Patrick Madrid. When I heard him using this one time, and I'm a hack and that's what I do. So, And I put it this way, and I related to my experience in the Marine Corps. In the Marine Corps, there are corpsmen, which are field medics. They go out with these combat units. And when a combat unit in the Marine Corps encounters enemy fire and men are wounded, it's the corpsman's job to save their lives and to patch them up. Now, let's give the situation where a Marine gets shot, falls down, and sprains his wrist. Okay, now the corpsman comes up to him, and he's got to make some choices here. Okay, he's got blood gushing from his chest, and he's got the sprained wrist. Well, what do you do? Does the corpsman decide, well, that sprained wrist is mighty important. Without that wrist, he can't pick up his weapon and he can't fire back. So I think
that
I'll
– looks like it hurts.
Right. I think I will put a splint on that and then we'll see where we're at from there. No, he must deal with the sucking chest wound first. That is just basic. And then once he has, you know, saved this man's life, then he can move on to the sprained wrist or the splinter or you name it. Now, I'm not trying to say that any of these other issues are not important and or serious issues. Quite the opposite. They are important. They are serious. But how do they compare to that of abortion? Yes, I don't personally want to see a single person die who is innocent. Or I don't want to see any convict who's on death row perish before he comes to the salvation. I don't want. Mm-hmm. I want him to come to the church. I want him to repent of his sins, receive the sacrament of reconciliation, come to the banquet of the one true bread, Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. I want him to come to this. And if we put this man to death before he has that opportunity, well, that is a person who was made in the image and likeness of God, who is now has to face his immortal destiny while he died in his sins. So that's obviously a very serious issue. But can I prioritize that above the 50 million babies lost? No, you can't. Babies don't ask to die. They're murdered anyway. Escape convicts made choices, hard choices. Some of them, you know, were unfortunate circumstances, but they made choices. So we can't prioritize them above the innocent children. What about the innocents in Iraq? Well, you know, I was served in the Marine Corps and I was 17 years old. I raised my right hand and I swore that I would defend the Constitution, that I would take orders from the president, and if necessary, I would lay down my life for this country. Every single one of our brothers and sisters in arms who are in Iraq or Afghanistan have taken that same oath. And so they know what they were in for. Maybe they were young and stupid like me and didn't fully grasp it. But you know what? They raised their right hand of their own free will, and they made that commitment. But what about those innocent lives, the Iraqi children,
hey Joe,
and women? Yes.
I'd like to make a quick comment there. We're talking about the good men and women over in Iraq. My cousin has done, I think, two or three tours over there. And he got a promotion. He's training at one of the camps for the Marines over here in the States now. But since it's gone on, he's had to do two tours. And during the first one, he had all of his friends killed.
Adam, I think we're losing you. Hey, Adam, let's let Josh get in here because I can barely hear you.
He's
Josh?
Somebody.
Josh, you there?
I'm here.
Oh, you know who we lost? We lost Catholic Cat.
We lost Ustream.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's add. That's what was happening.
Adam, you were breaking up pretty bad.
Yeah.
Okay, we're adding it back.
Yeah, I saw my bar go down. I got the one thing. It's down again.
Adam,
am I still breaking up?
Yeah, no, go ahead and say what you were saying now.
But my cousin, after, you know, he saw all his best friends die over there. And out of the group that he was part of, he's the only one that came out of there alive. And after sitting down and talking to him a couple months ago, he was very proud of the work that he did over there. And he said that, you know, he doesn't want to go over there necessarily because he could die. In that aspect, he doesn't want to go over there. But he will, if asked, he will go over there with no, not even thinking twice, because it is his duty, it is his responsibility, and he holds his head up high because he's willing to die for his country. And that to for the people over here to take so much concern about, there's always people dying. Oh, my goodness. We're not trying to downplay that that is evil. Yeah, that death is not a good thing, and it's, we don't want that. But we also need to understand is that these people know what they're doing over there. We got people re-enlisting to go back over there because of how much they believe in the work that they're doing over in Iraq. And I think all people see is death, and but they're not taking into context of the work and the sacrifice people are willing to take. I mean, you can't tell me that somebody that re-enlists isn't willing to die for their country and to do the work that we're doing over there.
Right. And I guess the bottom line of my point is we have to prioritize the situation. Of course, we want to address everything. I don't want to see any man or woman die, whether they are civilians who are caught in unfortunate circumstances or soldiers who are engaged in this country's war. I don't want to see anybody die. I don't want to see the man on death row die. But that simply pales in comparison to the loss that we suffer in abortion. Hitler only dreamed about murdering that many people. He didn't come close. The bloodiest war the United States ever fought in was the Civil War, 600,000 plus casualties. That is a drop in the bucket compared to the loss that we're facing in abortion. And so it's so monumental that we can't even fathom a reason to vote for somebody who is going to not only see it continue, but make it worse. Josh?
Yeah, you know, like you said, we have killed more people since early 1960s with regards to abortion. Now it's with embryonic stem cell research and cloning that we're freezing embryos and then discarding them like they're yesterday's trash. I think it's my personal opinion that, you know, with right now, 1 in 3 African-American children is aborted, dies to abortion. 1 in 3, 33%. You know, when you look at the number of abortions that happen in this country, and we can only imagine the number of embryos that are lost to embryonic stem cell research and are killed because of that and working in human cloning, you know, I can't even imagine. I would suspect that we're probably killing at least 50% of all children that are born. Or if not more, we could be aborting more per year now than are actually being allowed to live. We wonder why in this country we have, you know, economic problems. You know, we want to know why we have economic problems, why Social Security is so bad. Because we've aborted all of our workers. We've aborted all of those who were supposed to come after us that would make Social Security work, that would make the economy work. And so that's why we have – I believe that is the source of our economic problems today.
All right. We got to – we have to really start to wrap this up. But Adam, let's let you play the devil's advocate here.
Well, I got this for Josh and you, Joe. You kept talking about how this whole time we've been talking about how abortion is wrong and all that stuff. Well, why is it wrong? Because we're murdering people, and I've been saying that too. Well, the devil's advocate question would be, well, how do you know that that's even a person?
Well, I think from my point of view, first of all, that's scientifically that's been answered, not only morally by the church that it's been conception, but science has answered that question. Because, for example, scientifically, anything that is foreign to the human body, even though it's contained within it, is considered a foreign entity. And I'll give you for this this is an example. Cancer is whenever it grows beyond what it's supposed to do, it's considered a threat to the body. And because of that, it's considered we have to remove that because it is a foreign entity. And they try and use the same example for human life. But human life isn't cancer. A human life is actually a sign that something went correct with the conjugal act. And so to show that this is truly a person, all you have to do is look at the scientific evidence. From the moment of conception, that child can have a completely different blood type than the parent, can have a completely different DNA structure than the mother. And so that from that very moment, you can see that the fact that this is the bishop's the bishop over in Scranton, from this very moment of conception, the embryo has the potential, notice the potential, to do everything that an adult human being is. It has to therefore be a human being, because a monkey embryo doesn't have the potential to do everything that a human being does. A dog embryo does not have the potential to do everything that a human being does, even though they may look very similar in early stages. They do not have the potential to do that what a human being does. And if you have the potential, you must therefore be of the class. And so if to have the potentiality, you must therefore be a human being, just as, you know, a seventh grader who may not be, you know, great in math, but has the potential to be good in math, is just as a human being as another child who may have that actualized ability.
Well, you know, Adam, to answer your question, I would do what I think every rational person would do in trying to answer whether or not this is life. I would go to the best source available, Nancy Pelosi, of course. I mean, quite clearly, she's just, knowledgeable in this case. That was a bad attempt at a joke. But I mean, just to reiterate what Josh says, I don't have to be a theologian or even, you know, a scientist or a medical doctor to know that the baby there's a heart beating at 5 weeks. You know, there's brain activity, detectable brain activity. And this is the time when the vast majority of abortions occur. So the bottom line is you're stopping a beating heart. That's the bottom line. And so whether or not, you know, I can, as a layman, give the most clear definition of where life begins or not, the facts are the facts, and these aren't my doing. These are scientific bedrock facts. There's a beating heart. There is its own DNA. It has its own blood type, which does not mix with the blood type of the mother. That's very, very critical. So you're stopping a beating heart every time.
Can I answer my own devil's advocate question?
As long as you're very rude to yourself.
Okay, yeah, I will. I'll put myself in timeout after we're done. my answer would be to, because honestly, I think if somebody says that, you know, well, how do you know that's a life? It's like, well, okay, well, instead of trying to prove it scientifically, which we can, let's go at the skeptical angle. And Peter Kreef had pointed out that, when you're hunting, he said that if a hunter sees a bush move, he doesn't just pull the trigger. He has to make sure that he doesn't know if it's a deer behind that bush or if it's another hunter. He pulls that trigger, he can be convicted of a negligible homicide. And so since you don't know, you don't pull the trigger. So if somebody's like, well, how do you know that that's life? You know, well, okay, what if we don't know? If we don't know, we don't pull the trigger until we are definitely sure. Somebody's going to go and blow up a building to take it down so that they can reconstruct another building inside a city or something like that. They are very careful to make sure nobody is in there. If there's just the tiniest hint they think everybody's out, but there might be somebody in there, they don't blow it up. They're not just like, oh, well, he should have known better. You know, well, there might be somebody in there. Get everybody in there. Let's do another scan. Make sure nobody's in there.
All right, guys, I think we need to bring this to a close. It's been a great discussion. I think we've touched on a lot of stuff. And where do we wrap this up? Josh, I'll let you go first. Final comments.
Well, I think ultimately we have to remember when we enter the voting booth on election day that we have to ask ourselves, who do we vote for? And when we decide who we vote for, we have to remember those promises that we made at our baptism. Because ultimately, it's us who have been given the mission to know, love, and serve Christ. And how do we know and love and serve Christ? To advance His kingdom here on earth. Not my will be done, but your will be done. And I think ultimately, if we stick to those principles in the voting booth, then we'll have no problems whatsoever. And I think that's what we have to ultimately remember. Not my will, but your will be done.
Adam?
I'd like to close with a quote from Archbishop Chaput. And he said, quote, "For 35 years, I've watched thousands of good Catholic lay people, clergy, and religious struggle to recover some form of legal protection for the unborn child. The abortion lobby has fought every compromise and every legal restriction on abortion every step of the way. Apparently, they believe in their convictions more than some of us Catholics believe in ours. And I think that's an indictment of an entire generation of American Catholic leadership," end quote. And after really thinking about that, he is part of American Catholic leadership, that he's willing to point the finger at himself and also the other bishops, which he, you know, is equal with. Mm-hmm. And it begs the question for me is, am I willing to point the finger at me? Are you willing to point the finger at you? What have you done? What have you done to, you know, standing on the sidelines and cheering, per se, like, it isn't enough. You got to get in the game and play. You got to get in the game and pray. You got to get in the game and vote the correct way.
Okay. I just also want to close with a statement from Archbishop Chaput.
just read his whole statement. Like, we're not even going to talk. We're just going to read the whole thing.
We should just let him do the podcast.
Right. I called him. He wasn't available. I don't know. Apparently he's never heard of me. Can you imagine? I don't get it. But he goes on to say,
"Who are you again?"
He goes on to say, quote, "So I think that people who claim that the abortion struggle is lost as a matter of law, or that supporting an outspoken defender of legal abortion is somehow, quote unquote, pro-life, are not just wrong. They are betraying the witness of every person who continues the work of defending the unborn child. And I hope they know how to explain that, because someday they'll be required to," unquote. I just thought that was a very powerful statement, and it sort of sums up what we're trying to convey here. So if we've been vague in any way, let's be clear now. Josh, can we vote for Obama?
That is wholeheartedly no.
Adam?
No.
And I concur. As Catholics, I don't think we can, in good conscience, vote for somebody so against life as Obama. And still
the
be
church
in good conscience.
Doesn't think you can either.
And that's probably more important than any of our opinions, right? Yeah. Well, guys, I really want to thank you for being on the show tonight and bearing through all of the technical difficulties. And I also want to thank all those who listened over Ustream, and their participation in the discussion was very welcome. And so thank you guys so much. God bless you. Well, there you have it. Voting Catholic, or Catholic voting, whichever you like. But I think the point is very clear. There is a priority that we must consider, that we cannot look past. We can't mistake the words of Cardinal Ratzinger before he became Pope and just vote for a pro-abortion candidate because, oh, we're not voting for him for that reason. It's this other reason that I'm voting for him. No. That's not what he was talking about. He did say that there had to be certain circumstances that are available in order to get away with that, so to speak. And we don't have that case. In fact, we fit what the church has been teaching us. One pro-life, one pro-death. You gotta vote pro-life. Abortion simply is the greatest tragedy of our day. We must not look past it. We must not undo all the hard work, the blood, sweat, and tears of so many who fought for life by voting for somebody who clearly is not going to help us, but will instead set us back decades. He's going to sign freedom of choice. He's going to make abortion on demand even more available. more innocent children will die. But we can do something about it. We can vote like Catholics. We can be obedient. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was obedient. Obedient even unto death. Death on a cross. Jesus Christ went to the cross out of obedience. Will we go to our cross? Will we give up on our own pride? Our own desire for wealth and happiness and peace and economy and you name it. Will we give up all of that to save the lives of countless, countless human beings? Think about it. Pray about it. I know many of you probably will not even agree with what we've had to say tonight, but you know what? It had to be said, and I'm okay if you're angry with me. I'm okay if you've got an opinion that's opposite of mine. I'm okay with that. But don't go on my opinion. Go on the opinion of the church that Christ founded, the church that Jesus Christ promised that he would be with until the end of the time, that he gives his spirit to protect and guide and said the gates of hell would not prevail against. Go with that church. Do with whatever it tells you to do. And it's telling you to vote pro-life. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox now. Feel free to send your comments to me at catholichack@gmail.com. Please stop by the blog, www.catholichack.com. Give me a call. Leave me a voicemail at 713-568-6277. That's 713-568-6277. I thank you so much for listening to this critical and very important topic. And so I look forward to getting your feedback. I look forward to hearing what you have to say on this topic. I just want to mention that this past week, Father Roderick has tackled this topic and did a really good job. So did Father Jay Finelli of the iPadre Catholic Podcast, both of those very good priests are up for podcast awards. So please be sure to vote for them and the other SQPN podcasts like Catholic Rocker with George Leap. Please be sure to support those podcasts. But I'm proud of them. They spoke out about this issue. And Paul Camerata put out a statement that just touched my heart. So I want you to go over to the Daily Breakfast and look for that. It really is a very touching statement that I want you to check out. Plus, check out the video from Eduardo Barastegui. I'll put the video embedded on my blog. So go www.catholichack.com and be prepared. Be prepared for what you're about to see. The horror of abortion. If it doesn't change you, nothing will. I'll pray for you. Please, please pray for me. Well, until next time, may God richly bless you. God bless.
SQPN, the best in Catholic podcasting.